CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bob Zimmerman. And thanks to the James Webb Telescope, we're going back in time, very far back in time, to something that right now does not have an explanation. This is the frontier of cosmology. Bob, explain what has been discovered that cannot be explained.
Yes, the astronomers using the Space Webb, the Webb Space Telescope, have now identified six galaxies that are far too massive and evolved to have formed so quickly after the Big Bang. These formed less than a million years after the Big Bang. But to become the galaxies they are, as massive as they have to be 12 billion years old. So think about this. Less than a billion years after the Big Bang, you have galaxies that are 12 billion years old. This is not possible. So something is wrong here. Now, the scientists, this is the uncertainty of science. You know, in the last 3 years, we've had a lot of people who have clearly demonstrated they don't understand what science is. What science is uncertainty. You question everything. Nothing is ever consensus. Nothing is ever certain. And so the Big Bang has been the certain consensus theory about how the universe formed now for almost a half century. Well, the problem with that is Webb is looking now at the very, very early universe shortly after the Big Bang, and it keeps finding things that can't be there. If the Big Bang occurred 13.7 billion years ago, which all the present theories and data up to now have suggested when it occurred, then you can't find evolved and complex galaxies that Webb keeps seeing in that early time. And yet it does. And so what this is telling us here is either the Big Bang theory is very wrong, or it is very, very incomplete, and that all the data found that dates its occurrence 13.7 billion years ago, based on the Hubble constant, must be reanalyzed, must be looked at again. We have an unknown here. We just do not know what's going on. The worst thing the scientists, astronomers can do here is to try to fit this data into the Big Bang aggressively. And I will tell you, there is a possibility that these galaxies they have identified are not galaxies, but a new kind of supermassive black hole, able to form very quickly. That's a possibility. There's no doubt about that. But we should expect many scientists who are heavily invested in the Big Bang to push for this explanation. Now, it could be true, but their biases are true also, which means that Webb is presenting us with new data that calls for very, very strong skepticism in all the conclusions across the board. Nothing now is certain about any cosmological theory that has gone before us. Nothing. And we have to keep an open mind here about what's going on, John. Totally.
Bob, we move from the 13.7 billion years ago to my favorite little flying toaster, Ingenuity on Mars. The toaster is going ahead. How far are they? They can't separate too much. It uses communication on Perseverance, right?
Correct. No, but they are definitely Ingenuity completed its 45th flight on the 22nd of February, and it moved like 1,600 feet, which is one of the longest flights it's done, and it's the longest flight it's done in almost 2 years, to basically following the path that Perseverance is going to follow. And Ingenuity has been following close behind, basically using the images of the ground that Ingenuity has provided it on previous flights to pick a course and be able to move very quickly up the delta in Jezero Crater. And so I have a map on behind the black. They are moving very fast up onto the top there. The Perseverance team is very eager to get to the top of the delta and start to look for more core samples. That's really what's going on here. And so they're moving quick. There are several things about this story that are interesting. One, Ingenuity is undeniably providing scouting information to speed the travel up onto the delta for Perseverance. And that's really cool. And it's a big, big, big engineering achievement. Secondly, this is just once again illustrating the limitations of Perseverance. It was designed to obtain core samples for return to Earth. But to do that, they had to take off some of the geological tools and sensors that Curiosity uses. And that means that this Perseverance doesn't quite have the ability, it doesn't have the ability to analyze the core samples it takes, like Curiosity does. So it can do contact science, it can do close-up science, it can analyze the surface, but It cannot do any analysis of what it drills, and that's a limitation that Curiosity does not have. We have to wait for the core samples to come back to Earth a decade from now before we're ever going to find out what's there. And so this is, be aware, that Perseverance is not as capable a rover in this sense as Curiosity is.
Active volcanoes on Venus. The news here is they're being very specific where they are. Is that what's happened?
Yes, the data, archival data from the Magellan Orbiter, radar orbiter that orbited Venus in the 90s, scientists went back and looked at that data, and they think using that data, they've been able to pinpoint the most likely places active volcanism could be going on Venus. This confirms earlier data from 2020 that said the same thing. There's a feature on Venus, unique to Venus, called a corona. It's like a circular flat. It's like a shield volcano, but it's just different. It's not quite the same as a shield volcano. Shield volcanoes don't go up very high. They basically flow outward somewhat flat. And this is what these appear to be. They appear to be the most likely places we'll see volcanoes on Venus. There is other data that suggests there is active volcanism on Venus. The two have not yet been tied together yet, so we don't know for sure. But we think we know where now, John.
And a Ryugu sample, a carbon-based molecule, It's a carbonaceous chondrite, but right, Bob? The stuff that we find on Earth.
It's not surprising to find carbon-based molecules, organic molecules, on a carbonaceous chondrite asteroid because it has lots of carbon. It's soot. It's dust. You know, it's dark. But they found a gigantic number of molecules in the samples coming back from Hayabusa 2, and that's telling them a great deal now, detail work about the asteroids in the solar system, John.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black, I'm John Bastian.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.